This is a continuation of chapter 5, to be truthful. It's organically related to number 5, so whatever we just missed by running out of time is missed. Roger, what did you want to say?
We were talking about values and purpose and how they can affect and influence your policies, your social media, so you have to have policies in terms of how often you post and that sort of thing, and they will come out flow from your purpose, and your purpose is related to your values. Now, the point I wanted to make, was that your values are very personal to you. So, in a way, what we're drawing you back into is this whole concept of the me on the blog. And while you shouldn't necessarily be blogging about yourself, everything that you do on your blogs or your other platforms, your Audioboo platforms, your Instagram platforms, must be a reflection of your values.
Well, your DNA is in there, Roger. Your DNA is there. I mean, it doesn't. Everything you say, even when you're saying, you know, Chase Jarvis is the greatest developer of a photographic app that has ever existed. His app that he developed is actually the number one. That's about Chase Jarvis. But it ain't about Chase Jarvis. It's about you.
I know, but are you just trumpeting something you've heard, which could be the confusion you have around your own values, or is it coming from a core value that you have? Simply saying it, I don't think actually is necessarily a true reflection of your values.
But it reveals something about you. Now, to somebody else, to the audience listening to you, and this is the thing, people notice things about other people which the person might not be aware of.
Mm.
So, for example, people are listening to a conversation, and they're listening to the. They start off saying, "Is this genuine? Is this real?" Therefore, they might be saying, "Is this completely scripted? You know, was this all worked out in advance? Does this guy know what he was going to say? Is this deeply planned?" I have ordered lunch, by the way, for myself, and I haven't ordered for you. So I ordered while you were talking.
What did you order?
Soup and chips.
Soup and chips. It's like being out with a 3-year-old.
This is real, what we call mammy's food, or whatever you call it. No, but I just to you are revealing stuff about yourself all the time, whether you like it or not. And Seth Godin wrote a blog post about this not that very long ago, in the last 6 months, where he said, whether you like it or not, people are talking about you. You have a reputation. Your reputation is either unknown or it's out there, and it's not in your control, and people are getting impressions about you.
Mm.
So you can't help that. And he was saying, look, suck it up, you know, whether you like it or not. That's what they think about you, that's what they feel about you, and they're entitled. They will do that, whether you like it or not. The issue then, Seth Godin seemed to me to be saying, was, you know, will you join in the conversation, and will you be aware of it? And will you also, you know, where do you stand, you know? The thing is not to be naive enough and think that, oh my goodness, I just see people coming into Blackrock Castle here who are very active on social media in Cork. In fact, two of the most engaging people that I know in Cork have come in here, and they're just about to get a shock. One is Margaret Sheehan, who is num on Twitter, and she's just arrived here with her daughter. And Freckled Past, who is Evan, what's Evan's second name? I can't remember. Evan has arrived with baby Liam, who is Liam Oak on Twitter. And they are sitting over, and there is waving going on here. And
we've been rumbled.
We have been rumbled. We sit here, you know. So they probably don't realize we're working, Roger.
No, we'll have to tell them to leave.
Look, can we just leave all these big issues for 1 second? And while you're picking, I'm going to go back to this, how often should I post, Chris Brogan's question, but that's really concrete and very engaging. Chris suggests that there's no perfect answer to this. It depends on your business needs. or social needs, whatever it depends on yourself. And, you know, you could give an answer. I'll post once a day on my blog. I'll post a couple of things on Facebook. I'll do
the
X number of times a day on Twitter. But he says it's a mix. But he gives two great things to consider. And it is, who is your audience? Now, Chris says if your audience is international, right? Because he has an international audience and he has things to say about that. And incidentally, the thing Chris highlights about if the audience is international is time zones. And in fact, it was a Guy Kawasaki who taught me a long time ago, suggested to other people how many times a day you should post on how many times you should push out your blog posts if you have an international audience. And but you definitely shouldn't do it in just one time zone. But the other thing then is if your audience is local, how many times a day should you actually republish that same content? A blog post should go out more than once. That's enough to say that. You might decide that, look, I'm going to hit people if you like, or I'm going to offer some of the people my content so they can read it before they go to work. At which point you're going to be posting your stuff between 6:30 and 7:30 in the morning. You might want to post it for them at lunchtime so that they're in their lunch break and that you know that they're going to be breaking off from their normal routine and they're going to read it over lunch. And people are more and more mobile these days. They have the mobile smartphone, Android or iPad or whatever they like, or they call these things. And they'll consume the content, if you like, on the mobile device. And then you have people who do all their stuff in the evening. So, you know, you can, if you're pushing it out. Now, the best way, of course, to get something to a person on Twitter is to put their name on it. But if you want to push it out and sort of without, because you can't name all that many people, think about posting the same content more than once. But then Chris raises a second point, which is about if you want more blog traffic, and that's an if you want more blog traffic, he says, blog more often. And then he says something radical. He says, who cares if no one comments? Roger, when you started blogging, when was it? Give me roughly a year.
2007, 2008. Okay.
And I was doing it in 2005, right? Okay, so that's an age ago now, isn't it?
Oh my goodness, in social, yes. Oh
that's an awful long time ago,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
I don't know how many platforms have been invented since you started blogging. That is not a question I want you to answer.
No, you shouldn't even answer it.
But the point about that is, I think when we started blogging, commenting on blogging was much more prevalent. There were a lot more people commenting on the blog than today. Is that your experience?
My comments have been fairly consistent, but I there's an interesting point I think you raise, because I think people are they less inclined to comment? I don't know.
No. I've got a golf club in the bag on this question.
You've got a golf club in the bag on that question. Because the reason I say that is there are some very famous and high profile people, say on Instagram, but when they post, a lot of people just like the picture. You're missing a golden opportunity because so few people actually, thank you very much, my juice is just right, so few people leave a comment on an Instagram. So if you see a like, well, that's great. But if you see a comment, you're probably good. So there is a golden opportunity now to engage with. If there's somebody very high profile, you'd love to connect with them, and they're on Instagram, start commenting, because they'll see those, but they won't see the likes.
Well, just sticking with the theme of community building and audience building, there's no question about in Instagram.
Mm.
In Instagram, the way to build a community on Instagram is through comments.
Mm.
There's two ways of building community on Instagram that I give a hint or worth considering. One is comments, right? And the other is actually joint, filtering of photographs. So you put a photograph to half a dozen people and you get half a dozen people to work on your photograph, and you're going to get a work of art produced, and people do this wonderfully on Instagram. They produce something which is no longer, in my opinion, a photograph, right? But it's an image, definitely, right? And you see the most wonderful pieces of artwork produced by half a dozen people, all of whom have had it passed on to them. And if you've never come across this on Instagram, oh, have a look and find. Follow some of the people who use it on Instagram. I'm trying to think of Jack on Instagram. Is a name that comes to mind. Jack.
Because I don't want the conversation to veer too far off your golf club in the bag about comments.
Oh yeah, and it's this, and it's just so, I think this is, look, people used to comment. Now, first of all, you know, you don't get blog comments easily.
No.
The bottom line is, thank you very much, that's great. You get, blog comments are worth their weight in gold, and you don't get many, right? Nobody does, right? Unless you become really huge. Or you become very good, like Greg Canty in Cork. Writes very sticky blog posts very, very well and generates huge numbers of comments, right? You've got to have a great, there's a way of getting them. But people don't comment on the blog anymore because they basically tweet their reaction to the blog. Now, the number of comments on Twitter, thank you very much, number of comments on Twitter, I'm leaving Facebook out for a minute, about your blog posts may be a lot. The very clever people do have ways of sucking up all the gathering up, honoring all of those tweets, but bringing them into the comments portion under their blog post. So you see a blog post with 60 and 70 comments to it. 90% of those comments are tweets. Now that is a valuable thing to do, I believe, because you curate in one place on your blog all of the comments on that blog post. And that enables you then to curate your blog posts on Listly. So you have a list of your blog posts on Listly, but that means that people can, the whole community of people who comment on your blog post are all to be found in one place. What about that? Little hint.
It's a very useful hint. It's something I'm going to look at straight away.
Okay, well, that comes out of Chris Brogan's inspiration, right? And Chris Brogan says, you know, you'll get more traffic, and this is a good point, you'll get more traffic the more you post. I think what Chris is actually saying is something really reassuring, which is, don't get hung up on comments. The more blog posts you get, the more hits you're going to get on your blog. The more people are going to read your blog. They may not comment, but the traffic, the number of people, the audience, the community gathered around your blog, the number of return visits will go up. He says, by the way, this is typical Chris Brogan, you don't have to believe me. Test it. We got to break and eat some food. By the way, Roger, what did you have for lunch?
I have to read it off the menu because it was delicious. It was lovely. I had a soda bread sandwich, and in it was chicken with basil and black pudding pesto.
And finished.
Sun-dried tomatoes. Hello. And Hello. Maybe spinach. Oh dear, I think we've upset the waitress here. Sun-dried tomatoes, baby spinach, absolutely delicious. I have to say, black pudding pesto.
You didn't have black pudding pesto, did you?
It was in my sandwich.
Oh, is it?
I've never had it before, and it was wonderful.
All right.
No, I think black pudding pesto basically is crushed black pudding and it's smeared, but it was lovely.
You know that we have Cork's greatest food expert in the room.
We have one of them, definitely.
We have Margaret Smith here. Of course, yeah, I exaggerate to make a point. But Margaret Smith is over there. We should actually ask her what she thinks of black pudding pesto and if she's ever come across it.
Yes.
And we actually also have Freckled Past, Evan, who's a food blogger. So between the two of them, and she's American living in Ireland, so we've got two of the greatest authorities, we might see if we can entice them into conversation with us.
There might be a black pudding conversation heading your way in a separate audio group.
So we've done our lunch, right? We're going to stay very focused now on... Oh yeah, what did I have? Well, I had chips, right?
I had chips, and there's an Instagram photograph up already of our lunch, by the way. So we're finished. Thank you very much.
Would you like some coffee or dessert?
Oh yeah, I would like a pot of tea too. I would love that. The other thing is we just had spicy tomato soup with creme fraiche and basil. That was so cool. No, I didn't actually eat the brown bread and the butter because I'm keeping down the amount of grain I eat. And anyway, the brown bread looked like it would be too good for me. Okay, Roger, look, back to this question of after lunch. Welcome to the after lunch. First session after lunch is when people usually go to sleep. So what do you do with that? Straight after lunch, you have a call to action. In the audio, in the blog post. What does Chris Brogan say about a call to action that struck you?
His call to action that struck us is basically, he's saying if you want more traffic, blog more often. That's not the call to action, by the way. Well, it is in a way. His call to action is to test that hypothesis. Don't believe him, test it.
But the point is, the phrasing of the call to action, this is, I think, a valuable bit of a point for people to consider, right? The phrase of action is two words long.
Yes.
And it's fairly easy to remember, right? So I'll give you the two words that test it. So basically, is, you know, just go and do it, right? And it's in keeping with this partly philosophy, which is just do it, right? Test it. Don't believe me, just test it.
Go out, jump in, go for it.
If you find, while you're testing it, that Chris Brogan's hint isn't supported by your situation, Chris Brogan would simply say, make up your own rule, right? That's the Brogan approach. By the way, there's a book about that, isn't there? Does it remind you of any book you came across in Smarter Egg, where somebody says, just do it? Learn from the result.
Well, there were two books. Little Bets has an element of that, but I suppose the Lean Startup would leap to mind there, where you design a minimal viable product, and you launch that, and you see what the feedback is. You know it's going to be imperfect. You know it's going to disappoint a lot of people, but the early adopters will give you lots of valuable feedback, and therefore you'll be able to refine. You'll know whether you're on the right track, the wrong track, and you can either give up altogether or pivot and go down a different route, or you'll know you're on the right route, and you can pursue.
That strikes me that, for example, if you have a number of ideas about a topic, you've got two options. One is you can research it to forever, spend a year getting yourself able to say something about the topic. Or the other is you can put out an early version of your ideas in July, right? You'll get some reaction. You might not get it in the form of comments, but your friends will give it to you over a cup of coffee. They'll say that was a terrific blog post. Or they'll say, I like this aspect or that aspect. You'll get feedback from an audience somewhere, right? And that means that your September blog post about the same theme, right, about the same theme, is that much more refined, informed, and helpful to others. I mean, it's what people do in beta testing, isn't it? This is beta testing ideas.
It is. It can be even more than beta testing. It's almost alpha testing in a lot of...
What's that phrase?
It's almost alpha testing.
Alpha testing? I never heard that phrase before.
Ah, well, there is a reason why it's called beta testing.
Of course. Is there gamma testing?
I don't know.
Is there delta testing?
I don't know.
Is there sigma testing?
I would imagine that at that stage...
I have an interest in one thing.
Go on.
It's called ultra testing.
Ultra
right?
testing.
I want to... We are going to do ultra testing, right? That's my... Is that a... Have you ever heard that phrase?
I haven't.
Okay, well...
Just been reintroduced to it.
Ultra testing.
It sounds quite fearsome, actually. So... Call to action, and here's a hint that Paul gave me, because I don't do this half enough, and that is have a call to action when you're writing a blog post. It doesn't have to be a big thing, it doesn't have to be a life-changing thing, but a small call to action, and that can tie in with your goal. Why are you blogging? What's your purpose? You don't necessarily have to have one, but I think there is value in thinking about why are you putting a blog post up, and at the end of the blog post, what would you like somebody to have been able to do?
Look, just look at Copy Blogger, right? Just look at who else are brilliant. We've got 15 seconds. people who are real masters at calls to action.
Oh, well, I mean, social triggers. That's all I'm going to say. There's a website called Social Triggers, and it is all about this sort of thing. So, and I don't know the guy's name, but obviously he would be very good. We are running out of time.
Okay, Social Triggers. Okay. There we are. That's the call to action. Read it.